Hello and welcome to the Paul Garcia Show. I'm your host, Paul Garcia, and today I have a very special guest named Hannah Boyd. Hannah is from Lexington, Illinois, and went to University High School in Normal. Hannah Boyd has always been a high achiever in many different ways, but she's perhaps best known for her achievements in the sport of swimming. Her freshman year of high school, she won the IHSA state meet in the 200-meter freestyle before deciding to set her sights strictly on club competition to better prepare for her collegiate and international careers. After a very eventful high school career that you'll soon hear about, she would eventually go on to continue her academic and athletic career at the world-renowned Stanford University. It was here that Hannah would have, in part, a fine college experience, but would eventually have to fight against the greatest adversity of her young life. We all know that the smoothest rocks come from the harshest waters, and that analogy seems to work well with Hannah Boyd. She's one of the greatest people that I personally know, and she's fought through a lot, and I think that this story will serve a lot of people well, especially young high achievers who are in the thick of their athletic careers, academic careers, or who are experiencing the mental struggles that just come with life. I hope you enjoy this multi-person short film about the life of a very impressive and now very wise and very compassionate young person from Central Illinois. As always, I'd like to remind you that this show continues to improve and has quickly grown thanks to the generosity of viewers like you, who have donated just $1 or $5, or even one of you who's donated $50, you know who you are, to the show at thepaulgarciashow.com. You're all amazing, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate it and how much it helps the show. So again, thank you. And also, this show wouldn't be possible in the first place without the immense support and generosity from the four local businesses that sponsor it. So this is the part of the show where I tell you about those four local, incredible businesses that you'll want to hear about, who sponsor this show. I literally just do it for 30 seconds each, so you can skip them, but you won't want to, because I work hard to make each ad interesting and unique. So I invite you to listen as I tell you about some of the most beloved businesses in Central Illinois, who may be able to provide you with exactly the service that you need. By listening, you'll be supporting the show as well as the local economy. So do your part, kick back, relax, and listen up, because here we go. Well, wait a minute, what if you can't kick back? What if you're still sitting in some ugly old chair from the 70s that's about as soft as a tree stump, has stains from decades ago, and maybe even has someone's permanent body imprints on it? Look, it's time for an upgrade. It's time you head to Fairbury Furniture in Fairbury, Illinois, where you'll find all of the most stylish, modern, and comfortable furniture of all kinds. They have tons of 5-star reviews, and everyone that goes there loves the place. Head to Fairbury Furniture in Fairbury, Illinois, Central Illinois' premier furniture supplier. There are a select few laws that govern the universe. The laws of motion, the laws of thermodynamics, and the law of everyone who goes to the coffee steamer loves their experience and loves their coffee. The coffee steamer is as wholesome as coffee shops get. Their baristas are top-notch in skill and personality, and the coffee steamer supports other local businesses by using their products in their products. Every time my sister comes over, we bond over coffee from this amazing local place, because it's a lot more than just coffee and creamer at the coffee steamer. Stop by one of their locations in either Fairbury or Forest to start your day off right. The coffee steamer. That's good coffee. So, I drink a lot of coffee steamer coffee. It's delicious and it gets me hyped. But you know what doesn't get me hyped? When I walk up the stairs and run out of breath. Or when I look at someone bigger than me and think, yeah, they could really beat me up if they wanted to. These are both reasons why I enrolled at PSF Legacy Jiu-Jitsu in Normal. It feels good to be in great shape and to know that if a fight breaks out, I can hold my own. Jiu-Jitsu is one of the most effective methods of non-violent self-defense. No punching, no kicking, just skilled grappling, takedowns, and submissions. It's awesome. Check out PSF Legacy Jiu-Jitsu in Normal in person or on Facebook, because this place rocks. All right, to wrap this thing up, I have a question for you. Are you a hard worker? Do you find yourself exhausted at the end of most days? Do you find it hard to keep up with your appearance, but you still take pride in how you look? If you answered yes to any of these questions, you need to head to J. Marie Salon and Day Spa, located on Main Street in Fairbury, Illinois. This is the home to some seriously friendly, professionally trained stylists who will cut, color, and style your hair to perfection, who will get your knots out and relax your whole body with their top-notch massages. So do your whole body, from your hair to your nails to your muscles, a favor, and head over to J. Marie Salon and Day Spa in Fairbury, Illinois. J. Marie Salon and Day Spa. Send them a message on Facebook today. All right, that does it. Show these local businesses some love. The next time you go buy some furniture, grab some coffee, learn a martial art, or enhance your beauty. And of course, tell them that the Paul Garcia Show sent you. They love to hear that, and it really helps the show. And now, without any further ado, here's my short film about the life of Hannah Boyd.
Ready? When you were growing up, what were your goals? Like, what were your childhood type of passions and dreams?
Yeah, so, I mean, I was kind of like any kid athlete. The Olympics were always kind of a goal. I remember watching it on the deck at Horton Pool at ISU, and we had it on a big screen, the 2008 Olympics, actually. And Michael Phelps was going after all his gold medals, et cetera. And I just remember thinking, I'm going to be there one day. And that was all I kind of knew, all I kind of thought about why I thought I was on this planet was to swim. I heard that from so many people, that God just really blessed me with a natural talent and ability, and I was going to go far with that. And that's how I spent all of my time. And I knew my life held other things besides that, a career, maybe a family, but the only thing I could really see was, you know, how successful I wanted to be in the water.
That's all she did. And like, that's what I remember. I feel like that's what everyone remembers her by, is just swimming. Because that's where she spent all her time, and that's what she based everything around.
Well, Hannah was always a high achiever. And I think in anything that she set her heart to, she really wanted to do her best. She, wanted to get A's in school and get the best grades and read the most books when they were, you know, needing to turn in or get points for how many pages they read. You know, she wanted to read the big book. Then she started swimming, and she just had a real drive, I think, to be the best. She wanted to be the best.
So I started officially swimming and gave up all other extracurriculars when I was 9. And then by the time I was 11, I kind of knew I was good, and that, you know, I've had a real chance to kind of make something out of the sport for myself. And I would say probably age 11 was when I was like, yeah, you know, this is what I'm going to do. I think it was just the general idea, just everything that kind of came with it. Being able to have young swimmers like me look up to me one day, you know, definitely the gold medal, representing Team USA, you know, seeing people walk out with the USA flag on their chest and their jackets was always something that was very surreal for me, and it was always just kind of a time standard too that I saw in my head. I knew what the trial cuts were, and I knew, you know, kind of what things would take, and I just saw that so vividly.
Do you remember the first time that someone kind of told you that you could be as good as you wanted to be?
I mean, I got that from my parents from a very young age. A lot of parents, I think, do that, and you don't really, I mean, you believe it when you're young, and then you kind of are like, okay, you're supposed to tell me that. But I would say by the time I was 12, I was getting that when I was walking around on the pool deck from other athletes my age, from coaches I didn't know. It was always kind of weird because I'd walk around and everyone on deck would know my name, and they'd be like, Hannah, and I'd be like, hi, what's up?
Literally everyone knew who she was, even if she didn't know them. And everyone would be like, oh, like, where's the swimmer at? And
what about at family gatherings? Did people like always ask about her?
Yeah, all the time.
Was it usually about swimming?
That's what it was about, like 24/7.
I didn't know who she was at first, but like, she's a legend here. I was probably like 12 or 14 or so, and she holds all of the records for 11, 12, 13, 14s in Illinois, and I've always been gunning for her. So like when she like someone's like, "That's Hannah Boyd," I was like, "No!" And then I was like, "Hannah Boyd."
I think I kind of started to put it together that, okay, you know, I guess I'm good at this, and I never even really thought about if I liked it or not. I was just good at it.
We always wanted her to work hard and learn how to work hard, you know, and that was important.
She was one of the hardest working people on that team, and like, it's all people that like to work hard. Like, it's, I always joke that it was a bunch of psychos because like, everyone is just you have to be a little bit crazy kind of to do the workouts that we do. And she notoriously would work super hard and then just be so hard on herself afterwards because it wasn't as fast as she wanted. It wasn't the time that she wanted. She's, man, my heart rate didn't come down. There was always something a little bit off, and she just, I've messed up this whole day. Like, she's such a perfectionist. And so she'd work so hard, and then she'd be so hard on herself and be like, "Hannah Boyd, shut up, okay? Just like, go."
I mean, she was either at class or at swim practice, and she'd leave early in the morning and then she'd come home late. Most of the time she would have like double practices, like before school and after school. So, I mean, I didn't like spend a lot of my time talking to her, honestly, because yeah, she was very like exhausted. In my opinion, I thought she was pretty exhausted and wasn't that fun to be around, which nobody really would be, but.
Basically every single practice is how far can you push into pain and how long can you hold yourself there. And really, that's easier to do when you're younger, I think, because it's so easy to get better. But as you get older and more aware kind of what's going on, it really does become something that you have to find ways to make it fun. And if not, then basically what you're doing is going twice a day, 5 hours a day, and just putting yourself in extreme pain for no reason. And that's something that can be very wearing, especially when you're not really having great support from your coaching staff in terms of, you know, just mental health or things outside of swimming. And so I definitely kind of hit a point probably when I was 14, 15, when I started to figure out there were other things in life, and I was just so tired, and I knew that swimming was what still felt like what I should do, and I wanted it so bad, but I was also kind of getting that outside feedback that like, you don't have a choice, like this is what you have to do, like you need a scholarship, it would be a shame if you didn't pursue this. And I think that was kind of when I started to struggle a little bit with swimming. There were times I wanted to quit, of course, kept doing it because it felt like what I was supposed to do. And later when I really started to struggle with like health problems and never really saw any progress in the water was when I really started to just be like, what am I doing? I mean, people knew my name in the swimming world for sure. People knew my name around Central Illinois for swimming. I kind of got referred to as the swimmer whenever I met anyone, like, oh, you're the swimmer daughter. Going into the state meet my freshman year for Illinois and coming out first in my 200 freestyle, it was very surreal when a couple girls came up to me at the state meet and were asking for my autograph. And I was just like, whoa. I had been nationally ranked like first or second in most of my events from the age of 12. But that kind of carried through into, you know, freshman and sophomore year of high school, always kind of being top three in the nation with my times. You know, that kind of became my identity, and I think, you know, continue from there. I got my Olympic trial cuts after switching club teams, and that was basically where you were competing to try to compete in the Olympics. And obviously only top two go to the Olympics, so probably one of the most amazing moments because I'd been stuck at that. I'd missed it by a hundredth of a second when I was 12. Those trial cuts were very surreal for me. I was ecstatic and I was so ready to go just tear it up at the meet. I was having more success and training better than I ever had before after switching teams.
So you had a lot of success. Parts of that had to be enjoyable in high school, but when did things first start to kind of go south?
Well, it seemed like it was just just a flood of things that happened, you know.
So I talked about those Olympic trial cuts I wanted. Well, 2 weeks before the meet, I got mono. I wasn't even able to go and compete. I was kind of knocked out.
She got sick with mono, and then she had a relationship with someone that they broke up, and that was really hard for her. And then swimming was a little bit more difficult. She was kind of stuck and really wasn't cutting time. And but as from my perspective, I think that was something that most parents told us happened a lot of times when kids got into high school. It was a more of a struggle to cut time.
I just knew like she'd have a off race and she wasn't as good as she was when she was younger, and her dad would be like, what's wrong with you? Like, something's wrong with the coaches. Like, something has to be wrong. And it just like so much pressure on her. And like, I started to understand like why she was so hard on herself. But I mean, like, I had no idea. I could never have understood.
And so I really just pushed it to get back into the water. And around then, I had some feedback from my coach to really just get back in shape. Mono had made me out of shape in his mind. And so I worked with a trainer who had me lifting and then on this very, very restrictive diet, and I ended up dropping about 25 pounds in a month. You know, while he thought that this would make me swim fast, and I was getting that feedback and 100% doing it because I wanted to swim fast, it ended up taking away a lot of my muscle, a lot of my strength, a lot of my energy, and slowly I kind of started to creep up in every single time, every race that I was racing. And honestly, before I knew it, I was swimming slower than when I was 12, and that was something that was so extremely devastating to me. So besides mono and being out of the water for the first time in, 7 years, for longer than a week, we were also having a ton of trouble at home, and we were just really struggling as a family. I think I saw my parents really fight and struggle for the first time. And a lot of things started to change around the house. You know, we weren't able to kind of do the things we'd always done. I found out my grandma had actually started paying for my swim fees and my meets because we didn't have the money to pay for it. And that was something that weighed really heavy on me, just because my siblings weren't able to do their extracurriculars. And I just felt so much guilt and shame when I was in the water, when I was at home, that I had, you know, messed things up, that I kept failing every time I got in the pool. You know, not to mention, pretty soon after that, one of my friends committed suicide, and that was extremely hard, and you know, kind of took me back to a team that I had left and that had gotten pretty angry at me for leaving. So, you know, it was a weird time. I'd lost a lot of friends because I had broken up with a boyfriend and was kind of just circulating in this crazy tornado of emotion and stress and anxiety and uncertainty. And
I'm still mad about this, but like in 2015, her best friend committed suicide, and our coach told us all together. So we were all there when she found out, and like none of us knew him. Like, that wasn't a conversation that our coach should have had with Hannah, or like that's something that she should have been in a safe place with. That's like the hardest I've seen her cry, and I didn't know her really at that point. But like, that was one of the most heartbreaking things. And then she has an eating disorder.
And I was exhausted even more so because of, you know, the strict diet I was on. And, you know, only 5 years later would I figure out that it was a very long, drawn out bout with anorexia that stemmed from that. And so,
and I didn't know it, but there was one time, like for my birthday, I brought in bagels, and she just sobbed because she wanted a bagel so bad, but she couldn't have one in her own mind. And like, I was like I couldn't understand either, of like, you literally, like, I brought that for you. You can have this bagel. And she, like, she's so about everything. And then,
I mean, there's not really words to put to it. I just remember 4 years of my life, and I don't remember anything good ever happening. And I don't remember ever feeling okay. I just remember feeling small and sad, and like I wish I could disappear because, you know, I was so despicable is the word I can come up with. I felt like I had done so many things wrong and was failing on so many levels.
I knew it was difficult, very difficult for her. Always kind of thought that they should do some kind of sports counseling or something, you know, to kind of help the kids through that time. It was hard to see.
I was really just afraid, you know, that no one would want me because I was failing. I remember reaching out to Stanford because my dad kind of told me that, you know, you've always dreamt of this and you have nothing to lose, like reach out. And so I did, and I just really connected with the coach, and she talked to the head coach, and it all kind of spiraled from there. They, you know, recruited me on, and we started to go through the recruiting process. And I remember I was walking into the door at U-High when I found out, and I was ecstatic. I was like so in disbelief because I was like, how is this possible, like based off my last year? But I had put in enough work early on and shown that I had potential that like it just kind of worked. And I walked into the school and told my history teacher, which I was closest with at the time, and was just grinning ear to ear. And I was so excited. And at that point, you know, it was still a scary thing because I didn't know if I was good enough to go there. I was so ready to go, to escape everything and get out of Bloomington Normal and go to California, where I, you know, was so certain I was going to finally fit in and feel like myself again. And I walked onto campus and I got lost in everything, you know. It was so wonderful, and I was so caught up in the amazing people that were there. I mean, I was on deck with Katie Ledecky and Simone Manuel, two gold medalists, like multiple time gold medalists, and I was training with the best people in the world. And oh my gosh, it was hard. And every single day I kind of was questioning myself, like, do I even belong here? I also just had such good friends and so many fun times, and everything was so new that I just was so like caught up in a different whirlwind and completely forgot about kind of everything else I was struggling with. Not to say that that wouldn't come back to bite me in the butt later, but for at least for a while, everything felt like it was gonna get better. You know, everything was just new. We got to go to Hawaii for a training trip, and we went to the Olympic Training Center for a training trip later in the year, and always traveling. And I was so busy that I didn't even really have time to breathe, but, you know, always found time to study with friends or do this or that. And I'm not gonna tell you it was easy, because it wasn't. I mean, we were up to our chins in homework and training all the time, but, you know, you really just find people that you bond with through that because they're in the same boat. So I wouldn't say that things ever really got good. I would say that I was in denial. I would say that I drank alcohol for the first time in my life and found that as a great coping mechanism, which I have now learned is not necessarily a good thing to turn to, and I very rarely engage in that activity anymore. For a couple months, maybe, I gained a lot of weight in college, and it was weight that I needed. You know, they say the freshman 15, well, I gained the freshman 25, and it was the 25 I needed back in order to swim. So I was getting healthier by the end of my freshman year. I really was, and I was so hopeful. I was doing training with a personal physical therapist through the swim team, and my body was starting to feel more normal than it had in a really long time. So, you know, things were getting better, but I'd never dealt with anything that had happened. None of the, you know, shame that I felt or disappointment or sadness. And it was all still there, but so much covered up by the novelty of everything. And then my freshman year, at the very end of the school year, I got a really bad concussion and I sprained my neck. And I was out of the water for another month, right when things were starting to get good. And I was just devastated again. I was just like, are you hitting me right when I'm starting to swim my good times again? And it really just spiraled me into another fit of, you know, really bad eating patterns, because I'd never even figured out that I struggled with eating. And so it was just natural for me to go back to something that, you know, made me feel like I had control.
Her admitting that she had an eating disorder was very hard, but I'm so proud of her for doing something about it and like getting help. And
so for me, like, the training plan I had been on was, you know, no carbs really. I mean, you know, no fruit except for berries, really low calories. So I got really bad anxiety when I ate over like 1600 to 800 or 1800 calories, even though I was training 5 hours a day, which was absurd. But very lean meat. I didn't eat junk food. I didn't eat dessert. And basically, like, the less the better was kind of what it felt like. I couldn't consume food. It would just cause me a lot of anxiety because it felt like I was letting go of everything again and letting go of my ability to be successful in the water, because, you know, my coach in high school had told me, you know, I was too big to swim fast, and so I had to lose weight. And so, you know, it started to be something I held on to when I was starting to struggle in the pool. And you know, probably the thing that I should have held on to the least.
She didn't really tell me how bad it was. You know, I knew she was struggling with swimming, and I knew that she wasn't feeling well, and she'd had some injuries and setbacks, and but she wasn't really telling me. I didn't know the picture, the true picture, I don't think, till I went. Yeah.
I never knew about any of her struggles at all. The only thing that I knew is that she came home from college because her back was hurting. That's like all I knew until that summer she started telling me a little more about like her mental health and stuff like that.
I was slowly starting to break. You know, I could tell in the way I was feeling. I could tell in the way I was thinking and in the way I was acting. You know, I wasn't myself. And
what was the lowest moment? What was that like?
Yeah. There came a point when I couldn't really feel pain, but the feeling of nothing was so extremely excruciating because like I couldn't feel any sensation or in like physically in my body or really emotionally, and that numbness was so scary to me, and I knew I was not okay. And my coach just sat me down and they're like, Hannah, do you even want to swim? And I was like, yes, so bad. Like, I would give anything, but I, like, it's not happening. Like, I would sell my soul for this, and it's not happening. Like, I'm giving everything I have. And I think from there, it just, in the span of a couple weeks, it just purely unraveled, and my body just shut off. My nervous system just shut off. Everything hurt. Anytime I got touched, like, excruciating pain, I was like having these intense like somatic responses with my arms like moving everywhere, and my legs were so weak that like I couldn't even really feel my feet on the ground, and I tried to like push up off the ground to walk and like didn't really have the strength to do so, and I was like, my back hurt so bad, and I was certain it was in my back, like something had to be wrong with my spine because what else would be causing all of these crazy like physical responses, and I was just trying to fix it so I could swim again.
I think for me, again, the nurse part of me knew something wasn't right. And she'd been in the emergency room a couple of times and she'd seen some specialists and she wasn't getting any answers. So at that point, I wasn't sure what was going on, and I just knew I needed to be there and for myself and see.
You know, it wasn't getting fixed and I wasn't getting any solid answers from the doctors, and no one could tell me anything. They could see that I was in so much pain and they could see that I was struggling so much, but they couldn't give me anything, you know? I knew I had to walk away. And I think that's when things really hit the fan, because swimming was everything to me. You know, it's what I thought I was here to do. And when I came to the realization that I wasn't gonna be able to do it anymore, I felt purposeless.
Her coming to terms with like not being able to swim anymore, figuring out that things probably weren't going to be as they once were with swimming and like life in general, with her pain problem and like her condition, I guess.
I didn't want to face anyone. I didn't want to face my parents, who had, you know, felt like they'd always just wanted me to be successful in the water, and I didn't want to face my team, because how could I? I mean, like, they had all gotten through the training and I was sitting here with no idea why my body was shutting down on me. And I mean, I sat on my dorm floor and I cried, and you know, cried for probably 4 hours, and knew that if something didn't change, that I wasn't gonna go on like this. You know, my life was not worth living if I was gonna feel like this my entire life. And randomly, one of my guy friends from the men's team came up, and he was checking in with me about something for school or something like that. And I was like, Hannah, you know, I think God has a really great plan for you. And I know that you don't believe in him right now, but you can't run away from the church, and I'm gonna see you there one day. And it's going to be awesome. And he had no clue what was going on. And he left and I just broke down, and I texted him and I was like, can we go to church tomorrow? It was a Saturday night. And we went to church, and I called my mom, who would stay up with me all night, even though it was like 3 a.m. here, and said, Mom, like, I'm not okay. I cannot do this. like, I'm not going to go on anymore. And she just kind of knew.
You know, that's my fear that you have is that, you know, they'll lose hope and get depressed. And so, I was very fearful of that. Yeah. So, yeah, I wanted to be there for her. But, yeah, I had no understanding being so far away and listening to her talk until I really saw her too, you know, and then that was really tough to see how kind of debilitated she was and how much she was struggling. I got there and rented a car and pulled into the parking lot, and I wasn't really sure which dorm was hers, and she said, well, I'll come out into the street, or it was like an alley, and get you. And so her friend Leah was with her, and they were walking down the alley, and she was like, she could hardly walk. I mean, she was kind of hunched over, and she was just taking really slow walks. And I was like, oh my gosh, what's happened? You know, that here is this girl that's, you know, young and in her 20s, and what's going on? You know, why is she having so much trouble?
I'm either going to go home and figure things out, or, you know, this is going to be it. But either way, it's worth trying something.
We started some counseling, and so we just tried some different things trying to get answers, and we were still not sure what was going on at first. In my mind, I felt like it was a big component was depression, and a big component was more mental health, but I wasn't sure. We wanted to make sure that there wasn't something physical that needed to be fixed, because she was having back pain and physically was struggling.
You know, I saw a pain specialist, and I'd seen a back specialist and a neurological specialist to check my brain back at school, and knew those things were good. So we were really searching for weird things here, like weird answers, knowing that the normal answers weren't kind of there. And eventually I saw the pain specialist. He said I probably would never do anything active again, would probably need surgery or some sort of implant into my back in order to, you know, walk normally. That was hard to hear. My dad was in the office with me, and he just cried. And that was something that I like never saw. And he, at that point, he was like, all right, well, like, let's think about how your life is going to look moving forward. And I said, you know, we might as well go to this physical therapy appointment. You know, we have it scheduled. Let's just go. Let me tell you, that was a godsend, because for the first time, I saw a medical professional who saw me. Who saw me and not my problem, who saw me and wanted to know what I was struggling with, what I'd been through, what I was feeling, and was like, you know what? You know, your spine doesn't look that bad. I know what you're feeling is real, and we are gonna figure it out, and we're gonna work on it. And I wholeheartedly believe you're gonna walk normally again, you are gonna swim normally again, and it's gonna be long and it's gonna be difficult, but you need to have hope, because this isn't it for you, Hannah. That was everything. To have someone who saw me, and, you know, I didn't have to be anything. I didn't have to be amazing at that point. I didn't have to excel. I just needed to get better, and they were on that journey with me. But yoga was everything.
Yoga was something, I think, for me, even that I learned that it was really a good de-stressor, and that it really did help me relax a little bit. We don't get to do it enough, I will say that.
Meditation was another thing that was really big for me. My psych told me to kind of do this MBSR program, and that's what really spiked my interest in that, but it helped me to sit with what I was feeling. And I had for so long ran from what I was feeling. I'd ran from the pain of what was going on with my family. I'd ran from the shame of what it felt like to swim slow. I'd ran from the pain I felt from my body having no fuel, and just turned all that off. And meditation helped me to feel.
Like, the transformation since she left for college, since when she's come back and like blossomed into this person. She was always old, but now she's like, I don't even know, like, she's a person.
I was very self-centered when I was swimming. You have to be in order to continue to train and, you know, get your correct nutrition and sleep and roll out and take care of your muscles, etc. You kind of have to be selfish. And And I was just so singularly focused on what success I could have in the water. And now I'm living my nightmare, but it turns out to be exactly what I wanted because I have purpose now, and it's not swimming fast in the water. It's helping others. It's connecting with people. It's being joyful and soaking the most out of life that I can. And I try, you know, so hard to do that every single day. And it's being vulnerable with the people that I love, you know, with my mom and dad and sisters and with my boyfriend. And that wasn't something I ever made time for beforehand. I just wasn't around. I swam, I slept, I read. And, you know, even my grandma kind of says, like, you're so different now.
She left and, like, she was doing okay and she was so excited to be going to Stanford and everything was great. But then things didn't go exactly as she wanted and, like, that's to be expected. But, like, things were really not as she deserved because she deserves the world. She's so mature now and she's always been mature, but, like, she's times 10 what she used to be and she never was subpar is basically, like, she's always been the gold standard. Now she's the platinum standard. And I can't even... She's so wise beyond her years now. Like, she's God now to me. I feel like I could give her any problem. She'd be like, let's think logically and rationally about this. She's knows how to take care of herself and how to process emotions. And she's so mindful of everything that she does. Mindfulness, I guess, is the biggest thing that she's grown in, is just she's so in control.
What that all gave me is the ability to see clearly, to see myself clearly, to see that I deserve love and I deserve compassion, but to see others clearly as well, and to see the beauty on this planet clearly, and to just really soak in this life.
She's more willing to form connections with people in our family and just people around. Like, she wants to know what's going on in my life, what's going on in our little sister's life, what's going on in our parents' life. And she's just like, I think because she struggled, she doesn't want us to struggle in the same way. And I also think that she's like more grateful for everything around her. And she just knows how to handle herself like really well. Like, when before she struggled with like her breakdowns and stuff, now she just is very like good with handling like her emotions and stuff.
I would just say that I've grown into being the person that I want to be, the person I want to be, but never knew that I wanted to be. And, you know, it's someone who I think just has a lot to give this world. And sure, I could give people inspiration through swimming, but, you know, I'm very certain that I can give them more with who I am now.
She's just like, now she's just so kind to everyone. Like, I have not heard her say like a bad thing about anyone, like ever since she's come home.
I love Hannah Boyd. I would do anything for Hannah Boyd.
There's a lot of people who go through similar situation as me, who really struggle and are hopeless, and you know, medicine isn't really giving them the answers that they need, and kind of leaves them with, you know, this is how your life is going to be. But it's not true. There's so many things we can do and so many possibilities, and my goal is to kind of go into medicine and give people that hope when they're hopeless, and show them that there's work that can be done, hard work, but work that is so worth it to just really make this life what it should be. You know, there was really a time I didn't think I would be here, and you know, my mom was everything. My friend Leah Stevens at school and Allie Zeckley at school were everything. Matt Anderson and Ella Easton played a big part as well. And my friend Liz Madison at home and Grace Areola, you know, who never stopped believing in me. And of course my psychs, Aubrey Toole and Dr. Jepson, who helped me kind of sift through all the hardships. And then my physical therapist, Jonathan Crowley and Tessa, were, you know, amazing throughout the entire thing. But you know, there's so many other people I could name and so many other people who just loved me through all of that when I couldn't love myself, and who saw the good in me when I couldn't see it for myself. So I continue to, you know, have so many people in my life I'm so thankful for. And yeah, it just really makes me smile to think about that. So it's funny because my site kind of asked me a question about what my worst nightmare would have been when I walked onto Stanford campus when I was a freshman. And I told her, my worst nightmare would be what I'm living right now. And it's funny because what I'm living right now is the best and fullest life that I have ever lived.